There is a lot on today's show that you need to hear. First of all, crime is exploding everywhere, including now what's being called vigilante law in Connecticut, of all places. People have had enough of it. Also, TikTok, that controversy is going on. The Congress voted to ban TikTok. Barry Loudermilk is with us. He's talking about the January 6th committee, Steve Baker, and all the corruption in Washington. And we have a fascinating conversation with Carol Roth. If you have an LLC, you have a small business, anything, you've got to listen to this conversation with Carol Roth. First, I want to talk to you about Jace Medical. You know, the good people over the Chinese Communist Party, they have your best interest at heart. They really do. And if there were, let's say, you know, major medicine shortages throughout the United States all of a sudden, why? Our good friends, the Chinese, they would just make more of it and send it as fast as they could. Of course, now they got a lot of fentanyl coming over, you know, so they'd have to wait in line for the fentanyl because there's a big demand for that here in the United States, apparently, and they're willing to do it and send it right to Mexico where the drug cartels can send it. So I don't know about you. I just don't trust the Chinese. And unfortunately, most of our medications are made not here in America. So I want to talk to you about the Jace case. Jace case, you need one in your home. It's a pack of different antibiotics that you can use to treat a host of bacterial illnesses in an emergency. It's something you can keep in your home ready for use in a situation where you otherwise can't get the medication that you need. And if things in the supply chain get worse, there's going to be a vast majority of vital medications. So don't delay. You can get all the medications your family takes. They're adding more medications all the time. You can have a year's supply worth at your house. Jace Medical, J-A-S-E Medical.com, JaceMedical.com. Enter the promo code Beck at checkout and keep it to yourself. Promo code is Beck at JaceMedical.com.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Welcome to the Glenn Beck program. We have Barry Loudermilk on with us. Barry is a congressman from the great state of Georgia. He is on the House Administration Subcommittee on Oversight that is currently working to clean up the mess of Liz Cheney and her January 6th committee. Barry joins us now. Barry, I've got several things I want to cover with you, but let's start with the Liz Cheney thing. You told me on the phone once, and I read it in your report, that they were informed that they had to turn over all of the records, all of the testimony, and they didn't. In fact, they tried to delete it. Then they said they didn't know about any other files. Then when you found the files, they were locked, and they said, oh, we don't know anything about a password.
That's correct. And you're right, Glenn.
Has that happened before? I mean, is this normal when you switch?
No, it is not normal. And there are clear rules in the House of Representatives of what should be preserved, what has to be preserved, and what you don't have to preserve. If, let's say, there was, you interviewed somebody that was totally irrelevant. They had nothing to say. And you're just like, whoops, we should have never even talked to you. That's something you probably don't have to preserve, especially if you didn't use their testimony. But anything that's relevant or exculpatory, then, or even, let's say, the transcript or the videos of your interviews are something you definitely have to keep. And we know for a fact, because they admitted they discarded the thousands of videos, because every person they interviewed, they videotaped. And this is extremely important. And of all the information that they didn't keep, or they hid, or they deleted, these are the most critical. And they totally got rid of all of those videotapes and admitted that they did, because they said, hey, you've got the written transcripts of these. Well, first of all, we didn't have all the written transcripts. They sent some to the White House, some to Homeland Security, which we're still working on getting. And there were some documents, and we still don't know what those are, that they deleted from the hard drives. They told us they were giving us 4.5 terabytes of digital data. We got less than 3 terabytes. That's why we started. That's why we hired a forensics team to look at these hard drives. Maybe there's something corrupt. Maybe there's something missing. And that's where they recovered these password encrypted documents that have been deleted.
So Barry,
you're right. When I asked the chairman, he says, I don't even know what you're talking about, much less know the password.
So Barry, if I did this and I was under investigation and I did this, I would immediately go to jail. Obstruction of justice.
Correct.
I would go to jail. Mm-hmm. All of us would. But nobody in Congress ever seems to worry about that. There doesn't seem to be anything that sends anyone to jail. Why?
Well, we're going to see what is available. One argument is the speech and debate clause, but that is to protect you from lawsuits or legal action for what you do in the course of your business being a legislator. I've already been threatened with being subpoenaed or sued just for revealing the truth, but I'm protected under the speech and debate clause because we have a real legislative purpose in what we're doing.
Correct. The Congress and the Senate and the president need protection as they are pursuing their job. So if you want to make a claim on the floor, you can make a claim and nobody can sue you, et cetera, et cetera. But we're not talking about that. We are talking about the willful destruction of things the people of the United States paid for. We paid millions of dollars. And if they don't classify things to keep us away from it and to keep many of you guys who have oversight away from it, then they just seem to destroy it. That can't stand.
It cannot. And this is kind of treading new territory. I don't know that anything to this level, not I shouldn't say hasn't happened before, but never been exposed. And so there's so much more investigation that we're doing. I don't want to really opine on what could happen in the future because we may uncover a whole lot more that even adds on to just how obstructive that they really were. And you also have the issue of, you have most of the members of that committee are still in Congress, but you do have Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger and some others that are not. They're not currently protected by some of those same things. But it also gives us the ability of those that are in Congress, we do have certain actions that can be taken within the body. So there's a lot of questions there. And what I've told our team is let's just keep digging. Let's keep investigating. Let's keep going down the path we're going, because right now we have literally informants coming out of the woodwork. Now that they've seen what we're doing is we're doing it in an unbiased manner. We're just trying to get to the truth. And we even have folks who, let's say, would more lean toward Democrats that are coming to us saying, I've got information. I don't like Donald Trump, but I hate the injustice that I see being done.
Right. And this isn't all about Donald Trump. This is about the railroading of American citizens like I've never seen before. It was Jim Jordan yesterday issued a letter on behalf of our journalist, Steve Baker, to the United States attorney, Matthew Graves, and is demanding all of the documents and communication internal to know why this guy was treated differently than the New York Times. Are we going to find anything on this? Is this nobody believes that any of this is going to change a darn thing, which is frightening, quite honestly.
Well, I can anticipate what the FBI is going to say, and I've got some personal theories about this, but they're going to say this is an active investigation, so we can't provide you anything.
Of course.
Which is potentially, let me just say this, potentially one of the reasons that they've done this is so certain information that he was working on can't be subpoenaed or that won't be provided to Congress. That's one theory of why they've gone after him and not the others, because he was onto something. Look, my dad, a World War II veteran, used to tell me all the time, you took the you took the most incoming fire when you were over the target.
Correct.
So the fact that, you know, this has been done to Steve Baker, you know, is a red flag to me, is he's onto something.
Yeah. Here. And I know one of the things he's working on. I believe you do too. And that has to be sewn up. If it's false, then it's false and shouldn't be spoken of. But if it's true, it is. It's one of the worst thing. I think it's regime changing. And I use the word regime intentionally.
I agree with you on that. And people don't go to these extreme measures to cover up something that isn't real.
Yes.
I mean, there's got to be there or they're not going to go to this level.
Tell me, let me switch subjects again. TikTok, this bill is going through Congress today. And Stu and I look at it, I think, the same way. We're for free speech, and I don't like regulating anybody. However, these guys are intentionally taking us down. However, is this a Trojan horse that can be used against people like us down the road?
I'm in the same position as you guys. I think there is something that needs to be done with TikTok, because what people need to understand is this application is owned and operated by the Chinese Communist Party for one thing, and it's to disrupt the Americans, our culture, to influence the culture, but more importantly is to
divide us,
spy on America. Exactly. Yeah. Divide us and get information. Look, some of the people who are defending TikTok are already upset about the amount of data big tech is taking from American citizens every day without their knowledge. And in my estimation, unconstitutionally and illegally. But yet they're defending TikTok, who's doing the same thing, and it's going to an enemy of the United States.
I know.
So we have to be very careful, because I also don't trust the government. I know that we will take any law to the extreme and try to use it. So I think it's important to take the step. And I think under this legislation, which forces the divestiture of TikTok from the Chinese Communist Party. And look, I want to protect Glenn Beck and the Blaze and the every other, even the liberal media.
I would say the same about the Daily Beast, which I despise.
Exactly. But I don't think that we have to provide that same level of protection to the Chinese Communist Party.
What complex times we live in now.
It is. It definitely is.
Okay.
And one of the reasons, Glenn, that we're going to such efforts to expose the truth is because we have never before in American history has there been this much distrust of America, of our own government, of the people in the government. And I think as bad as we are, we're still the best it's ever been. And there's nothing we're going through we haven't been through before in this country and overcome. We got to get our eyes back on our cause of liberty and justice, things that our founders, have envisioned for this country. We have to have a healthy distrust for our government. That's what keeps us free. But the people also have to know that there are still people here that want you to know the truth of what happened, because if we don't know the truth, we won't stop the same thing from repeating itself. And when you look at this thing that Liz Cheney did, it isn't just the false information they put out, but when you look at like Cassidy Hutchins' testimony, that they took hers, hook, line, and sinker, without even questioning it. 2 months later, they interview the driver of the SUV who was supposedly the one that Trump tried to take the steering wheel from.
Right.
They didn't even ask him about that event when they interviewed him. You would think of anybody that would ask that. He had to interject it himself that never happened.
They also only referenced pipe bomb 5 times in almost 1,000-page report. They're not asking the questions on the pipe bomb. That doesn't make sense.
5 times, but they mentioned Donald Trump 1,900 times. 1,900 times, and the president of the United States was not even part of their tasking from the resolution that established the committee. The security failure at the Capitol was, and they didn't hardly address that whatsoever. This was designed from the beginning to legislatively prosecute Trump. and to push a false narrative. You can see it all the way through from the documents that they tried to keep from the American people, which is any exculpatory information that they suppressed, documents that they deleted, and the questions they didn't ask people that they were afraid would contradict other information they got that they liked. That is not a real investigation. That is just cherry picking, trying to find whatever will support your predetermined narrative. That's not the way our system is designed here in the United States. So our job is just to put the truth out there to the American people and let them decide.
Thank you.
You know, what really happened.
Yes, thank you. Barry Loudermilk, he is from the great state of Georgia. We'll talk again, Barry. Thank you. Keep your head up.
All right.
All right.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Glenn. Keep up the good work.
He's been remarkable on this, and he's a pit bull that just is not going to let go. And there's a few of them in Congress like Barry that are really, I mean, I think they have their heart in the right place. Let the chips fall where they may. I just want to know what the truth is. Charles wrote in about his father's experience with Relief Factor. He says, my 80-year-old father has been taking Relief Factor for quite some time now. He has said he feels 40 again. It's nice to see him so active, and I'm thankful to see him feeling this much better at his age. Thanks, Hunter. Wait, what? No, wasn't it like he was on something last night? I don't think it was a Relief Factor, but man, it was a different guy. Anyway, Charles, thank you for writing in. Thank your dad for trying Relief Factor. It's an amazing thing getting your life back. It's a daily supplement that helps your body fight pain by fighting inflammation. It's 100% drug-free, and over a million people have tried Relief Factor's Quick Start. 70% of them have gone on to order it again and again. So see how Relief Factor can help you with their three-week Quick Start kit. It's $19.95, comes with Relief Factor's Feel Better, your money-back guarantee. So give it a try. Visit ReliefFactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. 1-800-4-RELIEF. When you feel the difference, you'll know it works. ReliefFactor.com. Now back to the podcast. This is the best of the Glenn Beck program, and we really want to thank you for listening. Carol Roth, the author of You Will Own Nothing, former investment banker and good friend of the program, is here to, I guess we should start with the presidential budget that is insane, Carol. It's insane.
I keep calling it the budget of horrors because it takes the American dream and it turns it into the American nightmare, Glenn. And there are two pieces I think that we should discuss. One is the just top line insanity of it, the fact that we are at this precipice where we have this fiscal foundation that is crumbling. We're on an unsustainable fiscal trajectory, yet there is no seriousness about fixing it. So that's one piece we should delve into. The other piece, which I think may be even more important, is that this gives you a glimpse into the Democratic agenda, which is incredibly nefarious, and they are trying to come after not just your income, but your wealth. This is in the budget, all of these proposals for straight up wealth taxes and wealth grabs. And I don't know that enough attention is being given to that. So I wanted to handle both of those.
Okay, so let's go with the wealth tax first. How are they coming after wealth?
So they are actually within this budget proposing a wealth tax. And if you go to one of Biden's quote unquote fact sheets, I love the fact that they just straight up lie and they call it a fact sheet. They're repeating one of their favorite lies, which is that billionaires only pay an 8% tax rate, which I'm sure you're thinking you hear that like I am. Wow, that's great. How do I get in on that 8% tax rate? That is a straight up lie. This tracks back a couple of years when the White House did a study and they looked at all of billionaires' income, including unrealized gains in their stock. That means their stock has appreciated, but they have not sold it. And they said, well, if we were to tax that, what kind of a rate would they be paying? Well, they would be paying 8%. Well, that's not how taxes work. Tax works on income, not on wealth.
Tax cannot work that way.
No.
If they start taxing somebody's unrealized wealth, that means as your house gains in value, you have to pay that tax. Are they going to pay you back when it dives? No, you can't tax it that way.
Of course. And so what they're doing, and this is nefarious, and this tracks what I laid out, and you will own nothing, is they're saying, well, we're just going to do this for billionaires, that we're going to go ahead and we're going to start taxing the wealth of billionaires to make it mm-hmm. more fair. And once you concede, because a lot of people will go, oh, well, you know, that sounds good. They've got a lot of money. What does it matter to them? Once you give up that it is okay to do that, that property rights don't matter, that the government has the ability to confiscate your wealth, which is what it is, and that is not constitutional currently, but that is what it is, then they're going to say, well, you know what? We don't have enough, and we need to save Medicare, and we need to save Social Security, so we're going to come after your wealth, and that is your pension, your 401k, like you said, your house, and this is how we lose everything that creates wealth, Glenn.
So I just have to disagree with you, because there's not an example, for instance, Woodrow Wilson coming out and saying that we're going to create a national income tax, but it's only going to be on the millionaires and it will never go higher than 7%. And within 2 years, it was on the millionaires a little higher than 7. It was 95%. And then that wasn't enough money, so they had to go down. And now we all have a personal income tax. And it never went away. You open this door. It was millionaires in Woodrow Wilson's time. It's billionaires this time. What Carol just said is 100% provably true.
Yes, and not only just the straight up wealth tax, but also the inheritance tax. So this is something, again, that I flagged. There's about $84.4 trillion that is set to turn over in the next couple of decades. The big chunk of that is from the middle class, and they want access to that money. So another thing that they are throwing in here, Biden says, well, we're going to stop with this, you know, the inheritance, you know, giveaway. And when you pass money down, yeah, I know. When you pass money down, you know, instead of that going, some portion of that going tax-free to your heirs, that we're going to change that. But again, don't worry, guys. This is just for the richest until it isn't. And then on top of this, Glenn, this is even more fun. They want to raise the capital gains rate. So this is the amount that you pay on money that you put at risk that you've already been taxed on, right? So this is when you go and you buy a stock or you buy a house and it appreciates in value because you are risking that money and you've already been taxed on it and you don't know if that gain if there's going to be a gain or if there's going to be a loss. There's a risk involved to incentivize that. They have a lower rate for income that's earned on that. Again, just going after people who make $1 million, but they want to put that at the ordinary income tax rate. What that does, that seizes up capital allocation and is going to completely change the opportunities that we have. But again, once that comes down, that is the way that you create wealth as an individual. You have to own assets. You get the opportunity for those to appreciate, and you get a break because you've taken that risk. They're trying to take all of this away, and everybody's very caught up in the headline number, which is insane, but this is the flash forward. This is a glimpse into what the Democratic agenda is going to be. And by the way, Glenn, this is not just the president. This is Congress, because Congress is the one who ultimately is going to pass this. We cannot be voting for Democrats because this is what they want to do.
Oh my God. So let me ask you, the budget came out and his budget for next year, I think, is, what was it? 7.4, Stu? $7.3 trillion. $7.3 trillion. It was 3 or 4.2 trillion 2 years ago, 3 years ago. It's now 7.5 trillion. You know, that's a pretty remarkable number, in case anybody doesn't know. But it also said that he's raising taxes by 5.5 trillion. Is that over 10 years? Is that over a year? It wasn't clear.
So the proposal looked like that is over a period of time. However, as we know, these statements, when they put these budgets together, they assume that everything is going to work in the same way. And the proposals that he's put forth to raise taxes will do things that slow down the economy that will actually lead to lower taxes. Just like when you had the Trump tax cuts, when people said, oh my God, that raised the revenue that was received, because that's how this works. There's some, you know, fungibility here. And so you have to do what makes sense, and you want to have those dollars in people's hands making productive decisions in the economy instead of non-productive wealth transfers between the government. It's a different scenario. So this estimate that he's, that if everything goes perfectly, that they're going to even be able to raise if all this went through, is kind of silly to begin with. And it still doesn't cover the spending. And that's the part that's really scary. Like you said, the headline that he has goes up to $45.1 trillion within a decade, which is actually lower than the CBO's projections, which I think are conservative. So this is complete fantasy land, but it just shows that there is no fiscal responsibility. There's nobody who's coming in to say that we're going to change this. And this means that we're going to be dealing with ongoing inflation, ongoing taking away of your purchasing power in a best case scenario.
I don't think Donald Trump is, I mean, you know, he's not worried about debt because he believes you do the things that, you know, increase your revenue and then you don't have to worry about debt. But this debt, at what point, Carol, does this fall apart? At what point? We have the largest debt ever accumulated on human earth.
Yes.
In all time. And
countries, we're number one.
Right.
We're number
one. We should all realize this and realize it is absolutely impossible to pay this debt back. What is the real cost of this? How long do we have before everything is crushed by it?
Well, like I said, it's not impossible to pay it back. You hit the nail on the head when you talked about increasing revenues. What we need is an increase in productivity, and we need it fast, and we need it with a furious pace. Unfortunately, we don't have a president and we don't have a Congress that is removing barriers and doing the things that is going to create this, you know, so-called productivity miracle.
Okay.
So in the absence of having that productivity, or God forbid, some mass event that, you know, impacts the population where all of a sudden they don't have to pay out these promises anymore, what they're going to be left with is just issuing more debt. And unfortunately, you don't have the ability for people to continually absorb that at any particular given price. Based on where we are, debt to GDP, we don't have that much wiggle room. I wish I could tell you the exact number. There's not this exact spot where if we got to X, but we are certainly, I was saying we were inching closer to this, and people were saying we're not inching towards it. We're running full speed. Yeah, we're running full speed ahead. We need to get serious. And unfortunately, anytime somebody tries to have this realistic conversation, there's always the political talking points because people don't want to hear it and they want what was promised to them. But you cannot get what was promised to you and have it mean the same thing. They are going to basically inflate. And so you may get your quote unquote $1 million and find that your $1 million, you know, equates to buying a loaf of bread one day. And unfortunately, that's the path that we're
on. I tell you, you know who we owe this money to is the Federal Reserve, which is the banks. The banks in America, we own apparently all this money to now. They're the major funder for everything we're doing. Why don't they just, because it's on every citizen's head. It's on every citizen's head. So what's going to stop them when it comes time to collect to say, you're going to have to give me your house?
Well, and that's why it's so scary for us to see this flash of what's in front of us, seeing in the budget these proposed wealth taxes. They are telegraphing to you that this is part of the plan. This is the way that they are going to get themselves out of the promises that they've made that they cannot fulfill. They are going to come and take your money and say that it's for your benefit, and they're saving Social Security and they're saving Medicare, and the government is here to help you. Well, we've seen what the government help has done to the middle and the working class over the past several years. We literally cannot afford any more government help. They are showing you this. You need to wake up everybody that you know, even the people who don't believe. If they don't understand, Glenn and I will talk till we're blue in the face and try to explain this over and over again. I will do videos. We'll do explainers. We'll write up pieces. But people have to understand that at the end of the day, there's only so much math. We've talked about this before. Only so many ways that you can raise revenue. Only so many ways you can pay for things. There are certain promises. At the end, that equation has to balance, and it is way out of whack right now.
You are listening to the best of Glenn Beck. To listen to the rest of this interview, check out the full show podcast.
All right, I wanted to talk to you about crime and things that are happening in our cities, and I have quite a few examples of it. But first, I have to give you an update on something that I talked about on Friday. On Friday, I told you that we were at Mercury One and my history collection. We had just purchased a very, very rare uniform, prisoner uniform, from a prisoner's family in Auschwitz. It's very rare because it was the hat, the pants, the cloak, all matching numbers. We know exactly who it was. The guy survived, and it was just sold in auction. We bought it at an auction in Poland, and it was sent to us via Federal Express. Now, as we find out now, it was actually the problem of the auction house. They misnumbered or sent the wrong information with it. So when it went through customs, it was stopped. And then we got a notice, I think on Thursday, that it had been lost in the system. And needless to say, that was not a good thing. Irreplaceable comes to mind. This is extraordinarily rare and important because it's not a Jewish star. It is a political prisoner. This guy was he was in with the red star, or sorry, the red triangle. And that means that you were against Hitler and you were either for capitalism or communism, and you had to go away because you just wouldn't shut up. Friday, I just asked if you would pray for its whereabouts. Well, the chairman of the board of FedEx, somebody in his office or maybe him, heard me talk about it and reached out immediately, put us in charge with the client manager. And this is something that you get if you have something that is lost or stolen, you reach out and ask for client managers. Reggie Whitley was assigned to this case, and he found it. And I got to tell you, this is so important because I was thinking last week, how do I ever send a package? Because I had just sent a package of some other rare piece that needed repair. I had flown it myself. I had gone to New York just to deliver it to make sure it was safe. I gave it to people that I didn't know were going to send it overseas, and they did. And they sent it UPS. And what can Brown do for you? I don't know. Lose or steal, precious items. When I found out about it, the response was, yeah, that's happening a lot lately. Well, that's happening a lot lately? Can you stop that from happening? Because I ship with you from time to time. So nothing happened. And that is in somebody's pocket or on their shelf or I don't know where. Because they're having a problem with theft, at least with this one merchant. FedEx got on it immediately. It wasn't stolen, and that's what I was afraid of because of the last experience I had with UPS, that it was stolen. And I thought, this thing's going to be, nobody will know what this is. This will be destroyed, and it is a tremendous piece of history. So Thank you, FedEx. I know exactly who we will trust to send anything for repairs or from auction houses or anything. Thank you for giving me some semblance of trust in something in today's world. Thank you to the chairman and also Reggie Whitley, the client manager. Here it is, by the way. This is just the tunic. If you're watching us on Blaze TV, you've seen these in, you know, every film, and it has the red triangle and 31259. Just tremendous piece of history that was about to be lost. So, all right, I want to talk to you some more about crime and theft and what's happening in our country. However, every day I like to start my day with some scripture reading and some prayer. And today was Ephesians 4:28. And Stu, listen to this. The thief must stop stealing. Instead, he should make an honest living by his own efforts. This way, he'll be able to share with those in need. And I could have stopped reading there, but I no. Let no harmful language come from your mouth, only good words that are helpful in meeting the need, words that will benefit those who hear them. Don't cause grief to God's Holy Spirit, for he has stamped you as his property until the day of final redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, violent assertiveness, and slander, along with all spitefulness. Instead, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, and forgive one another, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. So, I read that and I thought, good night, everybody.
What can you say?
What can you possibly say? But I'm going to say it and try to remember to be not bitter, enraged, angry, no assertiveness and slander. This is going to be impossible to do. The Missouri AG, who is a friend of the program, Andrew Bailey, has said that a 15-year-old suspect should be tried for murder and maybe an adult instead of juvenile. You have the video? I don't know if I want to see it. Just play a little bit of it. You've seen this. It's gone around. It's from a teenage fight. Oh, two teenagers. Yeah, don't want to see it. That's enough.
That's terrible. Terrible.
Bashing her head into the concrete over and over and over again. Okay? These are high schoolers. High schoolers. She was transported to the hospital in critical condition. The suspect was arrested. She's been held by St. Louis County Family Court on assault charges. In a statement, the AG said, "This is evil and a complete disregard for human life, and it has no place in Missouri or anywhere. The criminal should be charged and tried as an adult. If the victim dies, that offense should rise to homicide." Well, he's right.
Amen.
But why is this happening? There is a split in our souls right now. There are people that just do not care. They don't care about human life. They have no empathy for anyone. It is the spirit of an antichrist. I mean, it is the opposite of everything that is good. Why? Why is that happening? By the way, there was an adult parent that was there at the fight and did nothing. That person should be tried. Only one teenager stepped up and tried to stop the fight, and they were pulled away by the other teenagers. So that's a sick group of teenagers. All of them should be tried for something. But the one who did it should be tried as an adult. Because these crimes are not kiddie crimes anymore. They're brazen and ugly and heinous. The way they are carried off without any regard, it's heinous. Let me give you another story. Retail giant that runs the Fulton Transit Center in Lower Manhattan wants out of its deal with the MTA. because crime is scaring all the tenants away. They say they shouldn't be held to this lease anymore because no one wants to come in and experience theft, property damage, bodily harm, or threats. And they say they can't get people to even work there, let alone come shop there. So we want out of the lease. Taco Bell, multiple locations in Oakland. They're shutting down. They first shut down the indoor, you know, eatery. It was only for drive-through. Then somebody broke in, took a chain, put it around the safe, and pulled it through the window with their car. It's been one place has been robbed once a month for the last 4 months. So then that place started taking just, you know, just credit cards. There's no cash, no cash in our Taco Bell. That didn't stop. They started getting the people who were in line and robbing them. And the people are a little sick of it. Knife wielding New York City bandits steal more than $200 in paper towels. They walked into a drugstore. It's 10 o'clock in the morning. They pull 20 packs of paper towels off the shelves, and somebody inside tries to stop them. One of them pulls out a knife and says, back off. They do. They're caught a couple of streets later. The guy with the knife was let go. The homeless man who was the partner, he was arrested. Don't know if he's out on bail. Well, there's no bail, so he's probably definitely out. Then you have a San Diego mom, California mom of three, that has been accused of masterminding an organized crime ring that stole nearly $8 million worth of makeup from stores like TJ Maxx, and Walgreens, and then resold it. If you look at the picture of this story, Stu, there, that's her garage. Look how amazingly well stocked it is.
Yeah.
Okay. She has texts back and forth to all of her gang, and they were like, she's like, I got orders coming in. She was selling it all on Amazon. Amazon worked with the FBI. She's in jail.
But my wife, who spends approximately 47% of her days in makeup stores, was at a makeup store locally with my daughter, and they were looking at stuff, and two women walked in with giant black plastic bags.
Yep.
And filled the plastic bags in front of all of the employees with makeup and then just walked out. And everyone was like, what the hell just happened? And they're like, we were not allowed to do anything. That was the employees told her.
It's amazing. So why is all of this happening? Now, let me tell you two stories about citizens who are doing something about it. And then I'll explain why do we have to go there? What's this all about? In Hartford, Connecticut, armed citizens have formed a group called the Self-Defense Brigade and have started to patrol the violent areas of Hartford, Connecticut. The mayor doesn't like it. Cornell Lewis, the founder of the Self-Defense Brigade, said, "We're legally armed and we're just patrolling. The people on Garden Street came to us and asked for our help." Garden Street has a lot of gun violence, and the group members legally carry as they walk around the violent parts of the city. The Self-Defense Brigade on Saturday was patrolling and even cleaning up Garden Street in Hartford's North End. "It's important that we come out here because we believe we have to keep the community safe and keep the community clean." I'm going to come back to this story in just a second. Let me give you what they're doing on the other coast. Business owners, prompted by Jose Ortiz, the owner of La Perla Puerto Rico Cuisine, told the local news that his restaurant has been robbed at gunpoint twice in just the past 2 years. He says business has dropped by 25% because customers don't feel safe in the area. We're not the only ones, he said. We're all in the same boat all across the city of Oakland. The city needs to immediately, effectively do something about it. The order to pressure the city to address the crime problem, he is now saying he's trying to get other businesses in Oakland to agree to stop paying their taxes. We're proposing not paying taxes to the city until they give us the services that we deserve and are paying for. He's right. He's right. However, that one's going to be hard. Let me go back to Connecticut. The mayor is against these people and is saying that they shouldn't be there. They have no right to do that. We're taking care of the city. Well, you're obviously not taking care of the city. So what is the important part of this? The important part is in this sentence. It was important to come out here because we believe we have to keep the community safe and keep the community clean. They are cleaning up the city on Saturday afternoons and then walking the city at night to make sure it's safe. Cleaning the city. Nobody cares about anything. There is nothing of value anymore, whether it's human life, whether it's stuff, whether it's relationships. There's no meaning to anything. We have to find meaning in things. Our whole country has become like tenement buildings. And they go down because nobody really owns them. Nobody owns them, so nobody really cares. Why is the city or why is this slumlord not fixing this? Well, because he doesn't have your help. People will usually take care of things that they own. I'm not sure that's true anymore. We have to restore meaning. And the best way to keep our places safe is the broken windows theory. You're more likely to throw a rock through a window pane on a house that is decrepit and all broken. The average person will do that if they see all these things broken and nobody cares about it. But the average person will never pick up a rock and throw it through a window of someplace that's nice. It's the broken windows theory. You start with the small stuff. In our case, places like Oakland, you got to find a way to convince cops to come back to work for you. I don't know why they would, but somehow or another, you have to hire more people. Because I know I wouldn't pay my taxes if that's the kind of service I was getting. You know, today is a great day to get a warranty. Actually, any day is a great day when you're not worrying about your appliances and home systems. That's what you get with an American Home Shield warranty. All the unexpected breakdowns, like a leaky faucet or faulty water heater, they're not going to break the bank because covered repairs and replacements are all taken care of. Having reassurance is something to celebrate. Choose the plan that works for you and your budget. When a covered item in your home breaks, all you do is contact American Home Shield. Their trusted, qualified pros will fix or replace it based on the coverage limits in your agreement. When it comes to protecting your appliances and home systems, don't worry. Be warranty. Go to ahs.com/Beck and save 20%. That's ahs.com/Beck and get 20% off any plan.
See ahs.com/contracts for coverage details, including limit amounts, fees, limitations, and exclusions. New Jersey residents, the product being offered is a service contract and is separate and distinct from any product or service warranty which may be provided by the home builder or manufacturer.